Together, please. Now, I'm going to read from the Bible, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. Amen. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Wherefore, chapter 2, verse 1, wherefore, therefore, based on those things, laying aside all malice, all guile and hypocrisies, and envies and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word. The Bible says that you may grow thereby, if so be, or since you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we need you tonight. We just want to be a help and a blessing to your people. Lord, we need to hear from you, though. We certainly have needs in our lives, and God, burdens and unanswered prayers and uncertainties. And Lord, just unable, Lord God, to discern which way to go many times. Lord, help us tonight to settle our hearts, our minds, on this one simple truth tonight, desiring the milk of the Word. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I mean, you may be seated. If you're not aware of this, God's will for you and for me, is to grow. Amen. As Christians. Look in 2 Peter, the same author, just the second epistle, 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 17. This is the end of his two epistles. Ye therefore, again, therefore, you understand, folks, is referring back to what you've heard before. Therefore, he said, based on everything I've written to you in these two epistles, therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. He says, beware, and then he says in verse 18, but grow. He says, I don't want you to fall from being steadfast. I don't want you to be led away with the error of the wicked, but I want you to grow. This is God's word, folks. God saying, grow in grace. Grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. So the Apostle Peter, you know the man. He was not all that he should have been early on in his Christian life. He had many problems. He had many uncertainties. He had many doubts and fears. He lacked faith. He never lacked zeal. His zeal many times caused him to put his foot in his mouth. But he did not lack zeal, but he lacked understanding. He lacked faith. Paul says, I had to withstand Peter to his face. Peter was teaching one thing and living another and being a hypocrite and being a fake. And we'll get to that here in a minute. But he finally comes to the place where he says, look in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained notice, precious faith with us. Now, he didn't always think that the faith in Jesus Christ was precious. You hear what I'm saying? God had changed this man completely. God had radically changed the heart of Peter from an old fisherman who was stubborn, who was self-willed, who was even self-righteous at times. Now he's finally to the point where he realizes this is precious faith. Precious means priceless. Precious means of great value. Precious faith. something that you hold in high regard, precious faith through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Wow, that does not sound like the man if you go back and read in the Gospels. The fisherman who Jesus said, "Get thee behind me, Satan."
Yeah.
But Peter grew.
Yep.
Peter grew.
Right. Yep.
Peter grew in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That is God's will for all of us.
Yeah.
Don't be, he says, beware. Don't fall. Don't go backwards, but grow. Go forward. Get stronger. Get more understanding. Get more wisdom. Understand, boy, come to a place in your life where you realize the faith of God and the faith in Christ Jesus, it is more precious than all the gold and all the silver this world could ever offer me.
Amen.
Grow, dearly beloved. Go back to there where we started in 1 Peter 1. He goes back, though. He starts here at the beginning, which is a good place to start. Amen? It's a good place to start in the beginning. God's will. Can I say to you, not only is it God's will that Christians grow, but it's every pastor's prayer.
Amen.
Why do I stand here and preach this Bible? Why do I pray for you every day? Why do I help you and love you? Why? Because, listen, because I know that we all need to grow.
Right.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We're talking about feeding. The Bible tells me as a pastor, as a matter of fact, it's right here in 1 Peter chapter 5. Turn over there. 1 Peter chapter 5. Keep your Bibles handy, okay? 1 Peter 5, verse 2. Well, he's speaking to the elders, to the pastors there. He says to me, to those of you who are called to preach, when God gives you a flock, feed the flock.
Amen.
Feed the flock. You cannot grow except you eat. Feed the flock. The flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, not because anybody's making you, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, when, not if, but when Jesus appears, amen, there's going to be a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Listen to me tonight. God wants you to grow. God wants me to feed you as your pastor so that you can grow. God knows that we need to grow. God knows that there are problems that we need to get past and we can grow beyond them. God knows that we need to see the faith in Jesus Christ as precious. There's so many things, but it starts back here in the beginning, 1 Peter chapter 1.
Yeah, that's right.
Verse 22, seeing you have purified your souls. What he's saying is now that you're saved.
Yep.
Don't, Brother Jose asked me during handshake, and he said, based on that letter I read to you, can a man who's not saved get discipled? Technically, no. He's not being discipled as a Christian. What he's being, what they're just teaching him the tenets of Christ or the basics of Christianity, and that's really not going to lead him to Christ. Though he has to be convicted of sin. But the fact is, once you get saved, though, then you can grow.
Yeah.
There is no other growth in Christ until there's a birth.
Man, that's right.
I mean, you're here tonight because you were born somewhere in the past.
Yeah.
Some of you longer than others, some of you not as quite as long, but you understand. There was a time and place where you were born.
Yeah.
And you started screaming and they slapped you in the backside and made you scream. By the way, they do that so that you will scream. Get all that junk out of your lungs. And then you started screaming and they started cleaning you up and they wrapped you up and you went to mommy's arms. It was like, oh, the most beautiful baby I've ever seen. It's amazing how it's always the most beautiful baby I've ever seen.
Yeah.
But you had to be born before you could ever be sitting here tonight.
Right?
You had to be born before you could. It's the same way with a Christian, you dear beloved. Why many people don't grow? Because they've never been born. Let me just say that right there. If you're not growing, have you ever been born again?
Yeah. Right. Oh, great.
You can't be growing in Christ if you're not born again. Jesus said, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. You must be born of the flesh, that's the water, that's the womb, and born of the Spirit. That's the spiritual salvation, the spiritual birth, the new birth in Christ. If any man be in Christ, all things are new." Because why? Because he's saved, he's born again. He has a new beginning in life, and then he can begin to grow. You can't ever grow. You can't ever grow until you have a life to grow. You have life. Only that which is alive grows. Have you noticed that? Verse 22 of 1 Peter chapter 1. Seeing then, or seeing, you have purified your souls. By the way, that's what happens when you get saved. Your souls are purified. Your souls have been cleaned. Your heart's been cleansed from all unrighteousness by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. I could preach on all that. But you've purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit. That's salvation, folks. You got saved by obeying the Word of God. You called upon the name of the Lord through the Spirit of God. Now you've been born again. You're saved. But notice it says, unto unfeigned love of the brethren. Now, I often wonder, and I know you think, well, any number of reasons could cause this, but really, unfeigned love means genuine love without falsehood.
Right.
Again, we're going to talk about these things here in a minute, but unfeigned love means real love without dissimulation. Let love be without dissimulation. That's what Romans chapter 12 says. When you get saved, listen now, don't miss this in verse 22. When you get saved, the Spirit of God into your heart, you have a new love for the brethren. What does that mean? That means you desire to be with the children of God now, no longer with the children of Satan. You love the brethren. You love to be around. Listen, God's people are the greatest people in the world. Why? Because of the Spirit of God. That's what it says right there. You obeyed the truth through the Spirit of God. Now you have a love. I want to be around the people of God. I desire to be around the people of God. I want to hear the people of God singing and praying and fellowshipping and laughing and worshiping. And I, listen, it's a love that God puts in our hearts for the brethren. Hey, listen. Newsflash. You didn't love the brethren before you got saved. You ran from them. Here comes that Christian again. Quick. Where can I hide? I got to go to the bathroom. At work, you ran from them. At school, you ran from them. They came to invite you to church, and you acted like they had the plague. Come on now, you know what I'm talking about. You work with people like that. You live with people like that in that neighborhood. You go to, listen, people, we try to hand out gospel tracts. We try to get people to just come to church, and they act like there's some kind of poison on that tract.
Right.
Why? Because there's no love for the brethren in their hearts. Because there's no Holy Spirit in their hearts. Because they've not been saved. Don't look for that person to grow. Now, though, he says, you have purified. You've been saved, I hope. He says, you've been saved unto unfeigned, real, genuine love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart, fervently, being born again. There it is again. Born again. Not of corruptible seed. Corruptible seed means it was not real. It was corrupt. It was temporary. But he says of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever now in your hearts. Right? Are you listening to me tonight? Now that word of God lives and abides forever in our hearts. That incorruptible seed that no man can ever uproot. Are you understanding what I'm saying? One day we will have incorruptible bodies. One day we will have immortal bodies. That which is mortal shall put on immortality. That which is corruptible shall put on incorruptibility. Listen, we will be forever glorified in heaven. Why? Because in us is the seed of glory. God's Word, living in the living Word of God, the Spirit of Christ in us. I'm born again, folks. I don't know about you, but I've been saved on May 13th, 2004 at 36, 35, 50. 51 Cindy Drive. I was born again. I was saved by the Spirit of God. And now, listen, I love to be around God's people. I want to be around God's people. I love to be in church. I love to hear the preaching of the word. You said, you can't tell me it's time for church. It's never going to discourage me. It's never going to hurt me when it's time for church. I love the God's people. I want to be there.
Hey.
I'm saved.
Amen.
I'm saved.
Amen.
Verse 24 says, all flesh is as grass. The glory of man is the flower of grass. Your flesh is like that grass out there. It comes and it goes.
Yep.
Your glory of man as the flower of grass. Well, let's look at this verse real quick. I'm trying to get to something here, but let's not go too fast. All flesh. Well, what about the flesh that has a lot of money? All flesh. What about that family that has all of that wealth and all of those possessions and that big house? And boy, they've got everything going. All flesh.
That's right.
All flesh is as grass. Now, what does grass mean? The grass withereth.
Right.
Have you ever noticed that your body's withering?
Amen.
Now, come on, let's just think about it. Have you ever noticed, now I know Chris and Karina and some of you young people, Miss Jessica's kids, they're not worried about withering flesh. But once you get past a certain age, you start to realize, man, things aren't as tight as they used to be. This skin that used to be tight, it used to bounce back, and now it just kind of sags. Why? Because it's withering.
Right.
It's going away. It's going to die soon. All flesh, all of mankind, there's nothing, but listen, and all the glory of man also.
Yeah.
All the glory of this life, all of the entertainment, all the lights, all of the sounds, all of the bells and the whistles, everything this world throws our way, it's going to fade.
Yep. Right.
Oh, it's so bright right now, but listen to me. You wait a little while, it'll fade.
Yep.
We were talking about, I think I was talking to Samuel about this a few days ago. Man, he says, if I could have this, and I had that, and you know, he was just a 13-year-old boy. He wants this, and this would be fun to have. And I said, that would be fun for a while. But listen to me, everything that's not spiritual will eventually fade.
That's right. Absolutely, sir.
It'll get old. I'll have to go buy something else.
Uh-huh.
And then I'll have to go buy something else. Then I'll have to go buy something else. And then I'll have to try something else. Because it will fade.
Yeah, amen.
It will fade. If it's not alive, if it's not of the Spirit of God, it will fade. That's what this verse means. The glory, the grass withereth and the flower thereof, the glory of that flower, the beauty of it, what happens to it after a while? Droops.
Yeah.
In the spring, everything blooms. And then the summer comes and it burns. And it droops. It was so beautiful. Yeah, but it's gone now. And that's what happens. The glory of man, the flesh, everything in this world has to offer you. It's so beautiful. It's so radiant and glorious and shiny. But it is going to fade.
Yep.
But, amen, don't you like that? Verse 25, but... not the word of the Lord.
Amen.
I said, but not the word, not the things of God. It endureth forever. It will live forever. It will go on forever. It will never fade. It will never get old.
Amen.
Never. Isn't that a blessing?
Amen.
It's a blessing. That old Word of God, that powerful King James Bible, you can't stamp it out. You can't cut it off. You can't burn it. You can't get rid of it. It's Word of God. Amen. And it will endure forever and ever and ever.
Amen.
Glory to God. Wherefore? Wherefore? Or therefore, or based on all of those things, verse 1, chapter 2, this is what I'm getting to. Here's the message. You need to lay aside some things so you can grow. But now, what the Apostle Peter is doing here is he's laying some groundwork again, because all of these two epistles are about the main idea is grow. Grow. But verse 2 of chapter 2 says, in order for us to grow, we have to desire the sincere milk of the Word of God that liveth and abideth forever, that does never fade, that never passes away. You understand that? But if we're ever going to grow, it's only going to be through the living, abiding, eternal, infinite, infallible, everlasting, almighty Word of God.
Amen.
But verse 1 comes first. Verse 1 comes before verse 2. That's how it works. You know that. And he says, there's some laying aside you have to do first. Notice what he says. He says, lay these things aside in verse 2 as newborn babes desire. What does that mean, preacher? What that means is, simply put, the reason you don't desire this Bible like you should, the reason we don't desire this Bible like maybe we used to, is because there's some things we need to lay aside.
Amen.
Verse 1 comes before verse 2, you understand? And the laying aside comes before the desiring. The laying aside of these things comes before the growing. Because the growth is going to come through the Word of God. And if you don't desire the Word of God, you're not going to read it. You're not going to study it. You're not going to love it. You're not going to have any desire for it.
Yeah, that's right.
So he says, he doesn't just jump to verse 2. He says, wherefore, you've got to lay some things aside. Now wait a minute. Remember, these are people that are already saved. These are people that are already saved. Remember, we just established that in chapter 1. Seeing then that you've been born again. Seeing then that you... Okay, these are saved people. And he says, lay aside some things. Saved people. Oh yeah! Saved people. You know, when God says all things are made new, behold, all things are made new. Old things are passed away. They are passed away. They're dead. But we resurrect them, don't we?
Yeah.
Okay. We resurrect them, don't we?
Yeah, that's right.
We continue to go back into the tomb in darkness and death when Jesus came out of there and said, why seek ye the living among the dead?
Yeah.
See, living life is what helps us grow. Life breeds life. Death breeds death. That's why when a dead man, dead in sins, dead in trespasses and sins, when he conceives a child with a woman, that child is born dead. Why? Because death breeds death.
Right.
But when Christ breathes life into our souls through faith by His grace of God, then that life comes in, and then the life, the living Word of God, breathes life in our hearts, in our souls, and that's how we grow. Dead things don't grow. I already established that, I think. But here's the thing. We have to desire the Word of God. Verse 2 says, as newborn babes. You say, well, preacher, I've been saved for 40 years. Praise God for it. But you should keep this newborn baby desire for this book. Did that make sense what I just said? He didn't say you are a newborn baby. So let me say this. As a newborn Christian, again, you have to be born. If you're not saved, you're never going to grow. But as a newborn babe, as a new Christian, the only way you're going to grow is to get in this book and learn this book and love this book and let this book lead you, you understand? But we have to make sure that if this book starts to get old, then we got to realize there's something in between us and this book.
Amen.
The word of God, it endureth forever, it liveth and abideth forever, it never fadeth away. It is God's word. And we would all say, hey, amen, right there. Okay, well then why don't we love it and desire it like it's more important than the very breath we breathe?
Yeah.
Why do we chase after so many other things and then, oh, I'm too tired to read my Bible? Because there's no desire. Because the desire's gone. The desire's gone. Has it ever dawned on you that everything you do starts with a desire?
That's right.
Amen.
Everything you do starts with a desire. And God says, why don't you desire the sincere milk of the Word? The Apostle Peter is saying, listen to me. You've got to learn something. You've got to understand something. I know what I'm talking about. I've been where you're at, and he has. He said, I was a mess for a long time, but I understood that finally I came to the understanding that I needed to desire this Word, the living Word of God, the written Word of God, so I could grow and stop being an idiot. Yeah. Peter was a little bit of an idiot at times.
Yeah,
I'm not calling you an idiot, you understand? I'm speaking for Peter. I'm calling myself an idiot. But if I'm going to grow and not be as much of an idiot, I'm going to have to do it through the Bible, but I'm not ever going to do it if I don't desire the Bible.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen.
And if I don't desire the Bible, it's because something's coming between me and my desire.
Yeah.
Something's coming between me and my desire. Peter said, based on the fact that the Word of God is alive, incorruptible, number one, you've got to lay aside all malice. Verse 1, chapter 2. Lay aside, by the way, means you've got to put it away. I mean, I don't have to explain that. You've got to cast it out. Cast it out. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Remember, I'm growing in the grace and knowledge. There you go. Thank you, class. I'm growing in the grace and knowledge of God. So if there's things that are exalting themselves against the knowledge of God, I have to cast them down. I have to cast them away. I have to lay them aside.
Amen.
Because that is robbing me of my desire, which ultimately will rob me of my spiritual growth, which ultimately will make me a spiritual flop.
Yep.
Failure. Infant for the rest of my life. Malice. What's malice, preacher? Depravity. It's depravity. You say, but wait a minute. I'm saved. I know that. And Peter knows that. And God knows that. But he still said it.
Amen.
Malice is this intent to do harm to someone. Again, I spoke about Cain and Abel this morning. Cain's heart was filled with malice toward Abel. I want you to understand something. We're going to talk about malice, guile, hypocrisies, envies, and evil speakings in verse 1. Now, quickly, every one of these things has to do with me, come between me and my brethren.
Right.
Remember verse 21 of chapter 1 says, we have been saved, purified our hearts unto unfeigned love for thee. Brethren, every one of these things in verse 1 has to do with your relationship with other people. My relationship with the brethren, not the world, the brethren, okay? My relationship with the brethren is going to directly affect my relationship with God.
Yeah.
My desire for His Word.
Right.
And he says the first thing is malice. You said, preacher, wow, that's serious. Cain killed Abel. Cain killed Abel out of malice. Yeah, absolutely he did. And that's not because Cain was wicked and evil. Cain just had malice in his heart. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 3, turn over there if you would. Let's look at it. 1 John chapter 3, verse 11. This is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. In other words, Cain was of the wicked one. He was of the devil, slew his brother. Wherefore slew he him? Why did he do that? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. If you're not careful, listen to me tonight. If you're not careful, malice will creep in when you begin to see others doing righteous works. Malice is depravity of the soul. Where I begin to see my brethren in a different light, I don't love them with an unfeigned love. Something's creeping up in between me and God's people. And listen, I'm telling you, this happens. This is what destroys more churches than anything else. The gates of hell cannot prevail against the church of God, but God's people many times let these things creep in.
Yep.
Malice and evil thinking. We're talking, it's every one of these things pretty much all the same. All one big ball wrapped up together is to where I am just not right with my brethren. Malice is I have anger. I have evil in my heart towards God's people. I don't love them with an unfeigned love. I fake my way through it. Now, I understand that some people are hard to love, and I understand that some people aren't necessarily like you or like, you know, so-called, how can I say, they don't necessarily agree with you, but I'm talking about love that God puts in our hearts for our brethren. I'm talking about accepting, and this is a love, it's not an emotion, it's not a feeling, it's a decision I make to love the brethren, to honor God's people. To not have any ill feelings or ill regard toward God's people. My brethren, malice. Cain's heart was filled with malice. Ishmael's heart was filled with malice towards Sarah, towards Isaac. Esau's heart was filled with malice toward Jacob, and on and on. Look at Matthew chapter 6. Quickly, I'm just going to read these scriptures. I'm not going to spend a lot of time. I'm not going to be long tonight. Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. That word there, evil, is malice.
Yeah.
There's enough malice in the world already. There's enough evil in the world already. Every day you're going to face that evil. Sufficient unto the day. There's enough evil today already. Don't worry about tomorrow, okay? But listen, that's that word. Sufficient. There's enough evil already in this world. Why should Christians, God's people's hearts, be filled with it? Towards their own brethren. Go back to 1 Peter. Malice is evil, depravity. It's me having ill feelings, ill regard for my brethren. And then secondly, I've got to lay aside all malice and all guile. Guile is deceit. Guile is deceit. It's lies. It's guile is me lying and cheating and being deceitful and creeping around and undertowing, you know, subtle and crafty. It's me, you know, treating people with deceptive ways, being insincere. Not being genuine. Being fake. Again, these are all very related. I don't have to go through all these a whole lot, but these things are what he lists in this Bible to tell us between our growth and with God are these things that affect us and affect our brethren, our church family, our other Christians. Malice in my heart. Can I say these things lead, then it leads towards guile. They build on each other. If I have some malice toward you, then I'm going to be fake. I'm even going to deceive you into thinking, you know, there's no problem here. I'm just going to act like everything is fine, like it always was. But it's guile. It's deception. It's fake. I'm acting in deception. Look in Matthew 26. Matthew 26. Verse 4. Let's read verse 3. They then assembled together the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people unto the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him. That word subtlety there is the same word, guile. The chief priests, the elders, the self-righteous Pharisees who claim to be servants of God, who claim to be spiritual leaders, they were consulting together among themselves how they could take Jesus by subtlety, by guile, and kill him. Now, you say, preacher, I'm never going to come to that point. I know that, but I'm trying to get you to see where all this comes from.
Yeah.
And what all this is really about. It creeps up in the brethren's hearts, and it begins to move against brethren, because it completely stunts your growth. It stunts the growth of people. You make yourself a spiritual baby for the rest of your life.
Yeah, that's right.
Remember, we're talking about growing. We're talking about growing. But these things have to be laid aside. Malice, which breeds guile, which breeds, back to 1 Peter 2, hypocrisies. Now, you know what a hypocrite is. It's a phony. It's a phony baloney. Acting under another name, if you will. You remember Jacob? You remember when Isaac was old and his eyesight was failing, and he called for Esau to go make him and go out there and grab me some venison like I love to eat. He's a man after my own heart. And barbecue it up real good, amen. Smoke it.
Amen.
And then bring me that venison and I'm going to bless you. After all, you're the firstborn. Well, Mama heard that.
Yeah.
Wait a minute, Jacob. Did you hear what your daddy just said? Quick, go put on some sheepskin and let's make you stink like you've been out in the field all day. And I'm going to make some lamb's meat and I'm going to make it for your daddy. And you're going to go in there and you're going to act like Esau. And he did. Well, you know what that is, folks? That's a perfect picture of hypocrisy.
Yeah.
Acting like one person when I know I'm not.
Yeah.
Acting one way when I know in my heart that's not me. Now, I'm not trying to be... Listen, I'm just trying to get you to understand. If it's in the Bible, then it obviously happens among the brethren.
Yeah.
It happens among the brethren. Save people.
Yeah.
Now, I know we talk about the Pharisees being hypocrites, and they were. Why? Because they acted like they were God's gift to society, when in reality, all they wanted to do was kill Jesus.
Yeah.
That's a hypocrite.
Yeah.
They weren't saved, though. This is written to save people.
Yeah.
Right.
In church.
Yeah.
Among the brethren. Are you listening to me tonight? Lord, help us. Why don't we have a greater desire for the Word of God? Because there's something in our hearts between me and another brother.
Yeah. Amen.
Hypocrisies. Judas Iscariot. Look at John chapter 12. I'm hurrying, but look over there with me. John chapter 12, verse 5. John chapter 12, verse 5. Well, let's look at verse 4. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor. He was a big, fat hypocrite. Notice, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. And he had the bag. And he bare what was put therein. You remember, Mary came and anointed Jesus. Remember, anointed his feet, wiped his feet with hair, and wept and repented and just worshiped God, worshiped Christ. And Judas said, we should have given this money to the poor. Well, how are we going to get it to the poor, Judas? Well, put it right here in my bag, and I'll take it to them. And that's what he was saying. Give it to me, and I'll give it to the poor. And the Bible says, we know, he was a thief. He had the bag. He was so good at it. Listen now. He was so good at it that none of the disciples suspected him.
Right.
He was so good at it that nobody suspected him of betraying Jesus. Even when Jesus said, one of you is going to betray me. And they said, is it I? Is it I, Lord? Is it I? John, ask him, who is it? Nobody suspected Judas.
Right.
He's a brother.
Right.
He's a good old boy. He loves the poor. God says he's a thief. He's a fake. He's a hypocrite. Now he wasn't saved, you understand? He was not saved. But this here in 1 Peter is written to save people. Could it be that saved people would act like that towards their brethren? Yeah. Now I'm going to tell you why in a minute. How could this possibly creep in among the brethren? Malice, guile, hypocrisy, acting like you're everything, and then in your heart you know. You know who you really are. You know what you're really thinking.
Yeah, man.
That cannot happen. It must not happen. It is straight out of hell. You know, it comes from the devil. Judas Iscariot, the Pharisees, Esau, they weren't godly people. They were following their flesh. We'll get to that in a minute. Go back to 1 Peter. I'm hurrying. Malice creeps in. I start to have evil thoughts toward my brethren, which brings guile, deceit, and hypocrisies. And then let's notice, envies. Envies. It's nothing more than jealousy. I go back to Cain. Cain was jealous because God accepted Abel's offering and he rejected his. Well, yeah, he accepted it, but it was only because Cain's was wrong. And you'll be very surprised. No, probably won't be surprised. You may be surprised, but probably not, to understand that even Christians, when God says, I do not accept your works, they get angry, and somehow it's other Christians' fault.
Yeah.
Well, you think you're so good. You think you're so self-righteous, holier than thou.
Oh, yeah, come on. Preach it, brother.
What did I do?
Yeah, man.
I'm just doing what God said.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but you just judging everybody. What are you talking about? I'm doing what God says.
Yeah,
the problem is, their offering has been rejected by God. They're angry because they don't have any more fellowship with God, and now it's everybody else's fault.
Right. Yep.
Okay. Right. Oh, come on, I've been there, and you have too. There's sin in your heart, there's something wrong with you, and all of a sudden it's everybody else's fault.
Yeah,
you've been there. Come on, say amen. Don't get quiet. I know you don't like it, but it's true. It's in there. It happens to Christians. Because we don't want to change this. And God said, Cain, if you just change your offering, I'll accept it. No. I'm going to kill you, Abel, because yours is right and mine's wrong. What did Abel have to do with it? But we're all that way. Come on, let's just be honest.
Yeah, right.
I get angry. because I can't seem to get a hold of God. Something's wrong with me. And then I can't stand to see somebody else singing. I can't stand to see somebody else rejoicing. I can't stand to see somebody else happy in Christ. I can't stand to see somebody else go soul winning. I can't stand it. Why? Because your heart is bad. But it's not everybody else. We get there, though. We all do. That's why this is in the Bible. First, listen, the first warning sign is, listen, you have no more desire for the Bible. That's what God's trying to say here. If I don't have a desire for the sincere milk of the Word, something needs to be laid aside. Between me and my brothers. That hypocrisy, that envy, that guile, then it leads to, of course, evil speakings.
Yeah.
You see how this builds on itself? It just why would one Christian talk bad about another Christian in church? Yeah. Their brother, their sister in Christ.
Amen.
Well, because there's malice and guile, hypocrisies and envies built up in there, and all of a sudden it just evil speakings. Gossip. Gossip. Look at 2 Corinthians 12. This is all things that cause many, many people to never grow. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 20. You know the church at Corinth was filled with this stuff. Oh, my soul. If you know your Bibles at all, you know that the church at Corinth was so carnal. Oh, they were filled with this kind of stuff. Verse 20, 2 Corinthians 12. For I fear lest when I come I shall not find you such as I would. He says, I'm not going to find you like I want to, and that I shall be found unto you such as ye would not, lest there be debates, that's arguings, envyings, jealousy, wraths, strifes, backbitings. Do you get a picture? When my wife was, I was in Bible college. My wife babysat for a little boy. I guess he was the same age as Samuel at the time, maybe close to it. And that boy, I think his name was Aaron. Was it Aaron? Yeah. That boy was a biter. And when he would get mad, he would go like this. He would start shaking, and he would just bite Samuel. Bite him on the back. I know. Poor guy, right? But that's backbitings. What in the world? And that's what children do.
Amen.
That's what children do. Whisperings. Did you see so and so? Have you heard? We need to pray for them. Be careful when somebody says, hey, we need to pray for so and so. Did you hear? Yeah, they're acting righteous. We need to pray for them. Did you hear what happened? And then they go into the gossip spiel, the evil speaking. That's whisperings, swellings, tumults. Unless when I come again, my God will humble me among you, that I shall be well many which have sinned already and have not repented of the uncleanness and fornication, lasciviousness which they have committed. There's so much sin in that church, it wasn't even funny. But I want you to see, they were acting like children, debating, arguing, envying, strife, backbiting, whispering, gossip. What in the world? This was a church. This was God's people, the brethren. Evil speaking. Go to James chapter 4. James is right before 1 Peter there where you're at. James chapter 4. Verse 1 says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? What? Where do these wars and these fightings come from? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members, in your body, in your flesh? Look in verse 11. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother speaketh evil of the law, God's word, and judges the law, God's word. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. God says, in other words, you're not keeping the law. You're not keeping the word of God. You're not obedient. You're a all of a sudden, you've made yourself God. You made yourself a God. How dare you speak evil of the brethren? You've put yourself in God's place. No. Listen, that's not your place. That's not mine. It's God's place. So we have all of this going on. Go back to 1 Peter. All of these things going on among Christians, among brethren, saved people. And we wonder then, why am I not growing? Because you're not going to grow without the Word of God. And you're not going to be in the Word of God without a desire to be in the Word of God. And you're not going to ever have that desire until you lay aside these things which are coming between you and the brethren. You say, preacher, I don't feel that way towards anybody. Wait a minute. Anybody? And my brethren, anybody? Well, come on now. Anybody? Well, you know, that person over there, they just rubbed me wrong, but I love them. What's going on there is it's the seed has already been planted and it's beginning to grow, and if you don't lay it aside, it's going to become a whole lot worse. And the desire that you need for the Word of God so that you can grow as God's will is never going to be there, because they say, well, ask yourself this. Do I desire the Word of God like I used to?
Amen.
Do I desire the Word of God at all? Have I ever desired the Word of God?
Right.
Two things. Are you saved?
Yeah.
Secondly, what do you need to lay down, cast out, cast away? God will grow you through this book. It's alive. It is alive. And life breeds life. And you will grow. If you're the same as you were this time last year, something's wrong. Something's wrong. That which is alive and healthy grows. What do you need to lay aside? Malice, guile, hypocrisies, envies, evil speaking? Listen, God wants you to grow. Your pastor wants you to grow. God's, you need to grow. Think about it tonight. Pray about it. Ask God, Lord, where am I at? It wouldn't be a bad idea to maybe go find that person and say, listen, I love you. Praying for you. By the way, if you pray for the brethren, there's no way you can feel this way.
Right. Amen.
Let me just throw that in there. And I know I told you before we end, I told you, how can a person ever come to this point as a Christian? And it goes right back up to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit. You get saved by obeying the truth through the Spirit. Listen, you stay right with God by obeying the truth through the Spirit. In other words, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. How could these things creep into a church family through the flesh? Through the flesh. God's Spirit will never lead you to have malice, envy, guile, hypocrisies. Never!
Yep.
It does not come from the Spirit of God. It comes from flesh. If you walk in the Spirit, you obey the Word of God through the Spirit of God, you'll find yourself praying for the brethren, loving the brethren, and you won't have any of this in your heart. And all of a sudden, this book will be fresh again. It will be alive. And like a newborn baby just desiring that milk bottle, you'll just desire this book like you used to. Our Heavenly Father, I pray for your help tonight. Lord, just keep working in our church and all of our hearts. But we all need to be honest with ourselves. There's certainly always room for improvement, room for growth. We need to grow more. We need to be more like Christ. And Lord, it hasn't been a deep message, Father, but it is so vital that we understand the reality of these things. Lord, help your people to search their hearts. Help us all to be honest whether or not we have a desire for the Bible. And then find in our hearts what needs to be laid aside. Lord, if there be one here tonight who's not born again, who does not have the Spirit of God, Lord, help them to understand that's why they're not growing, because there's no life in there. There's no birth. But Lord, please bring them to a humble repentance, confession of their sin and their need for Jesus. Lord, please, I pray for your Holy Spirit to work in all of our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's all stand together. The heads bowed, eyes closed. The altars are open tonight as the piano begins to play.